Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Board of Supervisors Ad Hoc Committee on Reparations for Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. Will the clerk take the roll?
Supervisor Marquez.
Present.
Supervisor Miley.
Present. All right, thank you. So we have two items on our agenda, Supervisor Marquez and I. And the first item is the commission budget request. And I think Larry's going to make that, and then we also have representatives from the library that could also add to any questions. So, Larry, you want to come and present? And it's this document here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And introduce yourself.
My name is Larry McClendon. I'm the Vice Chair of the Reparations Commission. And thank you, Supervisor Marquez and Supervisor Miley, for hosting and accepting our budget document. What you have before you is a budget document. One of the things I do want to note for the commission is that we did a little bit of capacity building when we decided on how we were going to design this budget for a robust listening session throughout Alameda County. We went through training and we ultimately design a couple of different options for the board to consider. There are three options here. The first, option A, is a robust budget. This allows us to have the most amount of interaction with residents within Alameda County. Option B is the midpoint, where it gives us enough touch points to gather the information from residents throughout the county. And option C is the low point. It's the budget amount in listening sessions and outreach sessions that gets us just enough information to put into the report to capture the voice, but it'd be very limited, option C. And through this document, you'll see that we have included data analysts and the ability to capture all of the things that we need via video and audio, photography, so we can put into a report. Making sure that this commission can fulfill the goals that the Board of Supervisors have for us, which is presenting a report, a robust report for reparations.
And from reading the document from the library, we're talking about six in-person community listen sessions, one online session, consultant guided completion of the work plan, data analysis, writing, and submission of a report. The research and report writing consultant, that's what the data analysis and writing report, that piece is?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then also, there's funding for social media and then the thing is, the budget, and I'm saying all this because we've got people online, and I don't know if they have this document. Okay. And the budget, the option C, the low amount, is $328,610. The midpoint amount, option B, is $389,120. And the option A is $439,080.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, and obviously, I haven't talked with Supervisor Marquez about that because it'd be a violation of the Brown Act, and I'd never do anything that's immoral, unethical, or illegal. But don't count on it. But I haven't talked to her. I personally would like to go with the option A, because I think the commission deserves option A. I'd like to see if we could if the Supervisor Marquez is comfortable with this, make a recommendation to the board that we approve option A up to a ceiling of $500,000 so that the commission can undertake its work through option A. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But turn it to Vice Marquez.
Thank you, Chair Miley, and thank you, Vice Chair McClendon, for being here and for your leadership and role on the Reparations Commission. Just have a couple clarifying questions. I see that the listening sessions are designed to be throughout the entire county, so two per district with possibly one or two online.
Absolutely.
I like that flexibility, giving people the option, and a lot of good budgeting requirements with respect to outreach, promotion, making sure people are aware of the opportunity to participate. But I also wanted to know, I know the last time the ad hoc committee met, there was also an ask to see how we can go about working with the foundation to actually receive funding from outside funders. So I don't know if there's been discussion with the library. I know that they have a foundation. Do you know if any clarity was done with respect to seeing if, in addition to what we're going to commit financially, but if outside entities, specifically philanthropy, wanted to contribute to these efforts? Do you know if there's been any progress made with respect to how we would receive that funding?
So we didn't make any additional progress from the time that we discussed because we prioritized this budget and moving our capacity building forward to present a detailed, robust listening session. That is a priority for us to work with the foundation to request and ask for money from different arms of different companies or et cetera for additional dollars. That would be the next thing that we do on behalf of the Reparations Commission.
And if I could just also chime in my conversations with the chair, Deborah Gore, I think they held up on moving ahead with any allyship because they kind of felt they go to a foundation, philanthropy, whoever asked for money, and then the philanthropy or business entity is going to say, well, what's the county put in?
Exactly.
And all we've put in so far is funding, the clerk, and we have library support. So I think if the board approves this $500,000 that I'm suggesting, then they can say, hey, the county's making a substantial commitment to this effort.
Strategy.
Yep.
Where if moved to $500,000, that would be the thing that this commission would present and utilize as a matching fund for the county's investment.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. We need to have skin in the game.
Yep.
And we need to back it up. So thank you. I just wanted to close the loop since we had discussed that at our last ad hoc committee meeting. So I just wanted to make, I did prepare some comments because I know that this commission has been working really hard over a year. So I just wanted to thank everyone for their patience, apologize for running late, was in Hayward today, should have been in Oakland all day, so I won't do that again, I apologize. But I know that the Reparations Commission is eager to advance their work, and I'm hopeful that today's committee agenda with further support our collective efforts to address the inequities faced by African Americans in Alameda County. Despite the federal landscape that is both contrary and hostile toward our county values and commitment to equity, as a core operating principle, this committee remains determined and even more resolute to take action. To all the members of the Reparations Commission, thank you for your insights and partnerships with the development of a comprehensive budget request to promote informed decision-making and a thorough future action plan. We asked for details and options, and that's exactly what you provided. So thank you so much for doing that. I also want to recognize the Commission Chair, Deborah Gore-Mann, and Vice Chair, Larry McClendon, for their steadfast leadership. I'm appreciative of your role, helping facilitate this pathway and advancing this critical work. Also want to thank Alameda County Library, particularly County Librarian Deborah Sika, for serving as a sponsor agency to support both the Reparations Commission, this ad hoc committee, and also welcome Aaron Jones and Jackie Martinez for joining us today. I also want to acknowledge our chair, Supervisor Miley. We wouldn't be here without his efforts in even forming the commission and getting us to this today, to this day. So I just want to publicly state that I am prepared to pledge up to $125,000 from my District 2 budget to help identify funding towards Option A. And I'm also committed to working in collaboration with Supervisor Miley, as well as our county administrator, to identify the gap so we can get it up to $500,000.
Thank you so much, Supervisor Marquez.
See, now Supervisor Marquez, she wants to do $125,000, so I've got to match that. So you're, so it's $250,000 right now. So we just need to talk to, you know, when we go to take this to the board, we'll already indicate that our offices are committed to putting in $125,000 apiece. That's $250,000. And so we're well on our way if the committee advances a $500,000 request.
Thank you so much. That would help. Option A gives us the online option and the in-person option that allows for multiple residents throughout the Alameda County to participate. So that's amazing.
Okay. So let me see if the library has anything they'd like to add to this report that we have here.
Clarifying question. Thank you so much, Vice Chair. Welcome, and thank you for being here. Can you just give us a brief overview? My understanding is the library does have a foundation. Can you just explain that to us? And do you feel that there's an opportunity in the future, should we work collectively along with the commission to identify additional funding that the foundation can actually receive those funds to uplift the work of the body?
Hi, thank you. Erin Jones, I'm the Equitable Libraries Division Director. The library does have a foundation. It's a little bit of a unique situation. It is its own thing, and it is kind of tied into the library in interesting ways. So I don't know that I can fully answer the question for you right now. I think we'd like to do a little bit more digging in to see what that relationship could look like. It's not quite a fully standalone operation. I'm not sure I can give you a full answer on that today.
Okay. It's something we could look into. And the reason why I'm asking, I should have provided context to my question. The reason why I'm asking is some organizations, some businesses want the tax write-off. That's why they would want to give to a foundation. So I want to make sure that we can receive funds from outside sources and some request that option. That's the reason why I was asking.
That makes sense. Yes. And our foundation does that often, right? So the foundation is able to accept grant funds or donated funds directly to the foundation and then is able to deposit those funds into the library's various trust fund accounts. And so that we have access to those funds through county spending procedures.
Great. Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to highlight from the report?
No, thank you both for your support of the commission. I know the library has been deeply invested in the success of the commission as well, and so thank you both, Supervisor Miley and Supervisor Marquez, for your continued dedication to the commission and all the representatives as well. The library has continued and remains dedicated to ensuring the success and seeing this through all the way to the final report. I think you'll note in there as well, we will continue with in-kind support with staffing, and also we're happy to run the online sessions as part of that in-kind support. We have a robust experience in running online programming and all of that sort of stuff. So we have, you know, cameras and mics, and we've got a whole set of things that we can utilize to be able to support making sure those are successful online sessions.
Yeah, and I think it'll be 6 in-person sessions and 1 online.
Correct. I think the commission was talking about 1 or 2 online, but we're happy to support whatever they...
Yeah, 1 or 2 online? Okay.
Yeah.
6 in-person and 1 or 2 online.
Okay. Correct.
Right. And then the in-person, they could be a church, a school, a governmental facility like the county or a city hall or whatever. But the point is the commission will figure all that out in working with the library. Okay, because some facilities will be able to get for an inexpensive cost. Others might be a little bit more costly, but the point is collectively you'll make that decision.
Yeah, we're happy to help with that and help with, you know, navigating through county procedures on finances and doing the continued work Deb has done on that regard.
Yeah, and we'll want to make sure with the sessions that obviously they'll need to be clerked by the clerk's office. So we need to make sure that whatever dates are set that we've coordinated with the clerk's office.
Yeah, and I know the commission really wants to make sure they're coordinating with each of the district supervisors as well to make sure that they can either attend those dates or are, you know, working with staff at your offices as well and the whole board's offices to ensure that they're aware of them and are able to spread the word through their own newsletters and own social media channels. And we want a robust of outcome or robust of attendance as possible at all those.
And one thing I would suggest, and you know, I've attended a number of the commission meetings. I'll be there tonight as well. But I mean, if we could actually have the dates, times, and places of when these are all going to occur, the six or the seven, it could be as many as eight, six in person, two online. If we had that, I mean, that could be blasted. And people could decide if they couldn't make one, they can make the other. If they want to make more than one, they can make more than one. If they couldn't make one in person, they could have the one that's, you know, a virtual. So once again, I'm not dictating. I'm just offering up a suggestion in terms of how that could be promoted.
Larry, do you want to?
And then we can spread it on our social media. The county can, you know, each of our offices, et cetera, and we can get it out through the county and other channels, as well as other entities would probably promote it as well.
Absolutely. So just as an update to the ad hoc committee, the library supported us with setting up our website. So we have a SharePoint. It's all drafted up. It includes outreach and promotion of every listening session and also capturing video and audio on that website. So, okay. And within that website, we've already designed our social media handles and where we're going to publish those on social media once we get the all the information for the locations, times, et cetera. Our goal is to co-promote that with each supervisor as much as possible, tagging, et cetera, making sure that when we're within that district especially, because our goal is to do two in each district, each commissioner is responsible for taking ownership of the district or for the supervisor who nominated them in the district that they come out of. They will be taking the responsibility to be boots on the ground, promoting that on the ground. And we're going to have a really robust digital presence when it comes to the commission meetings and also including flyers. A few of our commissioners did a mock listening session, and it went really well. It was at Allen Temple. Mm-hmm. And so they just kind of built up the fuel, I would say, that allows people to be really interested from just that mock listening session. There's been multiple people who've been wanting to continue to engage with the commission and continue the journey for reparation. So we're on that path. The library is an extremely important partner. They just gave us their IT people, and they started to do and design stuff for us. And then a few of our other commissioners are really going to go in and design the look and feel, and we've agreed upon a logo. So we're right there. The only way that we get the word out and we get the information that's required to put into the report is through the listening session. So this is going to be one of the most mm-hmm. important parts of our journey as a commission.
So Larry, you mentioned two per supervisor or district. How do you do that? There's six in person and two online. How's that going to be managed?
Well, we're hoping, we still need to figure out those details because of the way we kind of picked this hybrid strategy where we're going to have some folks come to libraries. So we're going to utilize libraries as it's a way for community to come and touch base with folks. So after online session and in-person session, we're going to also have more informational opportunities for them to engage with the.
So my question is, so for instance, if we're doing two per supervisor district, so for instance, I might have one, Supervisor Marquez might have one, and then we would share, because there's five supervisorial districts.
Yeah, so we're going to, one of the touch points that we want to do is we want to, when we have an online session or an in-person session, we want to, for people who can't attend or didn't attend, we want to go back to that district again. So it's two touch points.
I see.
And so that second touch point would be a smaller touch point for people we didn't capture, and it would be staffed by a commissioner. So ideally, we would say in each district, we have set up in a library, and it's folks who didn't attend, hey, you have an opportunity to engage again with commissioners.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. So that's where the two comes in. Gotcha. There's two touch points, but one big presentation and then a smaller presentation or touch point with commissioners for people who want to engage with what we're doing and who can't come downtown Oakland to, you know, sit or listen in.
Okay. And then I think with the Library Foundation, I'm familiar with their foundation. So if that's, and I, maybe through the Deb talking with the county administrator, but if that is not a convenient source, the county does have a foundation as well that can receive funds. And then also we've received funds through the Tides Foundation. So I think I've got to maybe leave it up to them to kind of figure out what would be the appropriate vehicle for philanthropic funds or private sector funds to come in. Yeah. Okay. All righty. And I just want to mention from the report, it says that the commission's held a retreat. There have been subcommittee work plan development. There's been creation of SharePoint repository. There's been data gathering on racial disparities from county agencies. There's been finalization of the Goldman School, a public policy capstone project, and then Larry mentioned development of the commission website. And I just want to say that capstone project, they showed that at the last commission meeting. I mean, that was phenomenal. What the young lady did was really, really significant, yeah, and very comprehensive and thorough.
Absolutely. And she'd be at our meeting tonight to present.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So if Supervisor Marquez has any more questions, let's see if we have any public comment on this item.
James Knowles.
And this is item number one.
Good evening, Supervisor Miley, Supervisor Marquez. How are you doing? I'm a commissioner on the Reparations Commission, and I'm here to support the request for funds. I've attended several meetings with the Health Commission, with the Housing and Community Development Commission, and the Juvenile Justice Commission. And it's amazing how much clarity has been provided to those commissioners from the departments that do the work. And my request, along with others on the commission, is that we get some funds so that we can catch up with those programs and provide the information that's necessary to make appropriate and up-to-date decisions which will benefit those that have suffered those losses. And I'll leave it at that, but at the same time, we are eager to get going and as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Philip Gardner.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Philip Gardner. I'm one of the commissioners on the Reparations Commission, and I want to thank Supervisor Marquez for pointing out the situation we find ourselves in the United States today and actually arguing for reparations at this time. Actually, it's even needed more now than even ever. I just wanted to make two points. One, I think it was interesting that this morning Mayor Barbara Lee came out and pointed out that homelessness is concentrated, unfortunately, in Oakland, and disproportionately they are African American. So what we've been talking about in reparations is not only historic, it's today. And we have, unfortunately, have data to support that. And then secondly, I was going to make the point, and I appreciate that made it, I had talked to my supervisors, one of their aides, Supervisor Tam, I don't want to get her name wrong, they pointed out that supervisors have discretionary funds, and I'm glad to see you guys have already done that. That was one of the points I was going to make. So I'm glad to see that. I also know that there's other commissions that are operating in Alameda County that have financial support, and I want you guys to give the same type to them. So those are my comments. I want to thank you for holding this. We'll go into this more depth this evening. Thank you very much.
I have no more speakers for item one.
All right, I want to thank the speakers. So Supervisor Marquez, could I make a motion that the ad hoc committee recommend to the board that we fund option A with the ceiling of $500,000?
I'll second. Do we need to include in that motion our pledges?
Yes.
Okay, so including pledge from your office and mine of 125, which brings us to 250. We're halfway there, folks, but we'll get to the other 250.
Okay, all right. So that's the motion before us, and call the roll. Oh, I'll second it. Call the roll.
I'll second. You made it. I got a second.
I made it. She seconded. Okay, call the roll.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Supervisor Miley?
Aye.
Motion approved.
Okay. So I know it's, and I want to thank Alex, Supervisor Marquez's chief of staff, and my chief of staff, Tony Henninger. I think she's listening. And Deb from the library for working on all this. And I think we'll have a board letter coming to the board on this on July 22nd. That's my understanding.
And I'd like to add my district director, Ronnie Lachey, has been instrumental in this work as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bert Jones just came back. So, okay, great. So, but that's my understanding. So we're going to get this to, because the next board meeting's July 22nd, not next week, but the following week. So we'll have a board letter, and in that board letter, we'll indicate our pledges, and I'll talk to the county administrator so that we can get the financial pledge to secure the additional $250,000 that we need, so the board can hopefully approve this. But I would also encourage you to talk to the other three board members as well, because there's no reason why they couldn't, you know, they can match our pledge or they can make a modest pledge or whatever, you know, if they want. You know, we don't have to just leave it at what we're doing and what I will ask from the county administrator. Okay. So this covers this particular item, item A. So now I'd like to go to item one. I'd like to go to item two, which is a contribution to the Russell City Redress City of Hayward Fund. And I don't know if this is going to come from Supervisor Marquez. Okay.
Thank you, Chair Miley. And before I go into my comments, I just want to acknowledge your leadership and thank you for this historic moment. We are one step closer, and thank you again to all the commissioners. I'm so proud that Mr. Knowles represents District 2. Thank you all for being here. Okay, I'm going to try to keep it together because this is a very, very important item. So item number two is to discuss a contribution to the Russell City Redress City of Hayward Fund. For this agenda item, I would like to share my own experience as a lifelong resident of South Hayward and a local public servant for almost 20 years. Russell City has been a focal point of my community for longer than I have been alive, and I believe deeply that it warrants both the county's attention and action. I grew up hearing about the history of Russell City and a story deeply ingrained in the community I love. My awareness began in grade school when I had the privilege to meet former residents and hear their firsthand stories and experiences of their vibrant home and later its literal tearing down by the city of Hayward and the county of Alameda. Just if you're wondering, that elementary school was Fairview Elementary School, which is right down the street from Russell City Church. Let us be clear, the destruction of Russell City is an atrocity that cannot be undone. The displacement of homes, businesses, and livelihoods represent a profound injustice that continues to affect former residents, including the elders who are still alive and living in Alameda County today, as well as their descendants. It is imperative that we acknowledge the role that both the Hayward City Council and the Alameda County Board of Supervisors played in enabling these injustices. These entities paved the way for the harm caused and thus have a responsibility to engage in reparative efforts. I would like to share just a few highlights of how we arrived here. In 1946, the Alameda County Board of Supervisors froze residential construction in Russell City. In the 1950s, Alameda County declared that they had no obligation to provide sanitation and water to Russell City and began denying building permits, preventing homeowners from improving their properties. In 1964, the city of Hayward announced plans to build an industrial park over Russell City, forcing over 1,000 people out of their homes. In 1964, Russell City was also annexed into Hayward. By 1966, the town of Russell City had been completely bulldozed. In 2021, the Hayward City Council issued a formal apology for the displacement of Russell City residents. In 2022, the city of Hayward launched a search for Russell City descendants and created the Russell City Reparative Justice Project. In 2023, Supervisor Miley and myself adopted a resolution to formally recognize and apologize for the county of Alameda's role in the destruction of Russell City. Alameda County Reparations Commission was also formed in 2023. I personally would like to take a moment to acknowledge the leadership of Supervisor Miley in forming the Alameda County Reparations Commission. Today is bittersweet because while it marks a meaningful step forward, it also reminds us of how far we still must go. 2 years after Alameda County formally apologized for its role in the destruction of Russell City, we must progress past the written word toward tangible action through the establishment of a Russell City Redress Fund for living residents. Today's action item request to contribute to such fund, while important, does not fully compensate for what was lost by the residents of Russell City. It is neither equal to nor comparable with the depth of loss experience, but does serve as a fundamental step towards repair and healing. The Russell City Redress Fund is not a final solution, but rather serves as a foundation for a deeper, more comprehensive reparative plan. Our goal remains to continue cultivating a community-wide understanding of both past devastation as well as the ongoing impact on local residents. A Russell City Redress Fund is not a concluding effort, but rather a necessary and urgent step that cannot be delayed any longer. 60 years since the deliberate dismantling of Russell City, we can and must concretely address this historic wrong in actual measures. Specifically, I want to pledge today my commitment again from District 2's budget, contributing toward the City of Hayward's Redress Fund. My pledge is to advance $400,000 towards those efforts. That is a pledge that I'm making publicly and would offer my colleague on this ad hoc committee to also consider making a contribution. And I want to make sure that we do this in the name of the residents of Russell City, as well as many of these individuals who served on the Hayward Restorative Justice Steering Committee. And those individuals are Sam Nava, Deborah Harris, Aisha Knowles, Ayanna Knowles, James Knowles, Deborah Harris, Marianne Johnson, Francesca Thomas, Tony Wine, Velda Goh, Kathy Rodriguez, Cindy Torres, Gloria Moore, Michael D. Johnson, Carolyn Johnson, Michael V. Johnson, Elizabeth Sanchez, and Priscilla Figueroa. So that is my update today with this item, and I'll pause there to see if my colleague has any questions or anything he would like to add. But just to close these remarks, this is urgent and it is dire because every year we learn of more elders passing, so we need to act swiftly on this decision.
Well, thank you, Supervisor Marquez. I've very well stated. Words are very powerful. The emotions were there. I can see this is very meaningful to you. And, you know, the supervisors who took that action, you know, their pictures were up there, all white males at the time. So, and what they did wasn't uncommon. You know, just during Juneteenth, I went to Allensworth and visited Allensworth, you know, Colonel Allensworth, and the whole thing with the Tulare County supervisors, they denied water and the railroad couldn't come through with this, that, and the other. And so the town of Allensworth was abandoned ultimately, and that was set up by an African-American military officer. I'm prepared to pledge to the Russell City fund $250,000. So that, I think, with that amount and with Supervisor Marquez's amount, the total would then be?
I also want to acknowledge the City of Hayward and their tremendous leadership under Mayor Mark Salinas. Also want to specifically call out Council Members Julie Roche and Angela Andrews have been instrumental in this work. And thank you to Josephine. She used to work for the City of Hayward, and we're lucky to have her here now at the county. But many people have worked really hard to get us to this point. I know that the City of Hayward is also they've identified $250,000. So with those three pledges, that brings us up to $900,000. The goal is to get to $1 million and beyond. So I'm committed to working with City of Hayward to take up this matter with philanthropy as well as local businesses. But I think this is a starting point.
Very good, very good. So before we proceed with the motion on this, let's call for public comment on this item, because I do think this is significant and is historical on, you know, $900,000. You know, the board still has to approve our commitment of $400,000 and $250,000. But I'm confident that will happen. So this, but we would need to take this to the board on the 22nd as well to get board authorization. But this is definitely historic. So let's call the public speakers.
James Knowles.
And I would just say a number of the descendants of Russell City moved to Fairview, which is an unincorporated Alameda County. So, and I'll just state this because I've said it before. I didn't even know where Fairview was before I became a county supervisor, because, you know, I was on the Oakland City Council and running for county supervisor. Fairview, where are you? What's a Fairview? Where's a Fairview? But, you know, having served now for quite a while, I've become quite familiar with Fairview, and the Russell City descendants that have moved to Fairview. So I'm very happy to be supportive of this item.
Thank you again, Supervisor Miley, Supervisor Marquez. Supervisor Marquez, those were eloquent words. Thank you very much. Deborah Harris is with me today, and I'd like to yield my time to her, since she is my elder and I have to respect my elders. And Fairview is now was Kelly Hill, so that's how we refer to it. Yes.
Thinks I need assistance. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I worked on the steering committee. My name is Deborah Harris, and I was raised in Russell City for almost 30 years, or lived in Russell City. And my parents moved there in 1943, I believe, 42, 43. So I went to elementary and high school while we lived in Russell City. My question for this redress for the Russell City community is there going to be some kind of some way that you are going to decide what you're going to, are you going to do money or are you going to do other things? Because number one, with the, you know, we've had money for picnics and stuff. We don't need money for picnics. We had picnics for 40 years without any outside influence. So we don't need that. And I feel that the elders, we have lost probably 6 people already. And so we're all old, you know, 80s and 90s at this point. So there shouldn't have to be an awful lot of investigating into surveys and stuff. We've done that with the steering committee. And so we have names. We did the survey twice. So all that information is there. And so my feeling is that, you know, we should kind of, if there's something going to be done, it should be done soon, because everybody is up there in age. And so that's where I am today. Thank you for holding my hand.
Caller, you're on the line. You have 2 minutes. Angela?
Hello, my name is Angela Andrews, and I am calling from the Hayward City Council. And I want to thank Supervisor Elisa Marquez and Supervisor Nate Miley for partnering with the City of Hayward to contribute to efforts to redress for the redress of the displacement of residents in the Russell City community. I also want to thank the Community Services Commission for forwarding the recommendation to the Hayward City Council. And I want to particularly thank Supervisor Marquez, who joined me in approving the apology during her time on Hayward City Council, but also Supervisor Miley, as when the Reparations Committee was being discussed, I spoke at public comment in support, but also wanted to remind the supervisor that this committee should also be a step for reparations, but the county should also continue to work with the Russell City community to ensure that we are partnering together in efforts to respond to the residents of Russell City. Today is the first step of responding, and I want to thank you for answering the call to action. The city has pioneered this effort by making this bold statement of the apology. We hope this step shows our efforts to not just make a statement, but to also contribute in helping the residents in their efforts. I want to thank the county staff, as well as the City of Hayward staff, for their work so far, and know that the City of Hayward will continue to focus on addressing recommendations forwarded by the steering committee. And we also look forward to continuing to work with the former Russell City residents, the county, and I also am committed to partnering with philanthropy and local businesses to also contribute to this important initiative. Thank you.
Caller, you're on the line. You have 2 minutes, Tony. Unmute your microphone, Tony Nguyen.
Hi, Cindy Torres. I want to thank you both so much for what you've done in this effort, and especially for your heartfelt comments today. I'm not going to say a lot because I'll get really emotional on this subject because my grandparents were residents there, my aunts and uncles, and I just really appreciate the effort here. I'm curious if the other supervisors will be asked to contribute to this. You know, the land that was sold there was used to buy the land at the county jail sits on now. So I think more people need to be part of this. I'm also happy to hear this is happening now because as part of the reparations committee with the City of Hayward, we haven't heard anything since the group was disbanded. We were just, the last we heard was a year ago that it was postponed and have not heard anything since. I've lost some elder, very important people in my family recently, and it happens quite often now. It's been over 60 years, and can't do anything about that, but I need my grandparents and everybody else honored for what they did and recognized. So I appreciate all your efforts. Thank you.
There are no more speakers for item two.
Okay, so I can answer the first question. It's sort of like on with the budget for the Reparations Commission. If folks want to approach other supervisors, you can do that. I don't think we can approach them because I think it would be a violation of the Brown Act, but you can approach other supervisors. And I think Supervisor Marquez said the goal is at least $1 million. So we're up to 900,000. So even if they put in enough to get us to $1 million, then we could start adding beyond that. So I would just encourage people to feel free to talk to the other three supervisors about this item because it will be, once we have the motion, we'll be going to the board on the 22nd. But I think Supervisor Marquez might be able to talk a little bit more about the particulars associated with maybe how the fund's gonna go about. Is that any other?
So my understanding is the city of Hayward will be working with a foundation to they're going to take the lead on designing the criteria, but it is absolutely a payment. This is funding that will go to the individuals that lived in Russell City. That is the point of the redress payment. And I know that the city of Hayward is still looking at other recommendations that were presented to the council last year. I know there's been talk about preserving the cultural history, art components, community. So decisions around that have not been made as of yet. But at this point, the city of Hayward has identified funding to start the redress payment fund. And what we're doing today is publicly pledging our commitment to add additional funding to that plan. So more to come. This is one step moving us closer to sharing all those details, which are forthcoming. There will be a press release going out tomorrow, which will provide more details and next steps.
And one other thing, I'm not sure who asked the question, but I think it was Cindy. I believe it was Cindy. The county, we're waiting for the commission, our reparations commission, to make recommendations to this committee on the action plan. And I've been very careful not to get ahead of them so they could embrace, you know, this as part of their recommendation to the board when they bring forth the action plan on reparations, that Russell City be a major component of that in some fashion or another. Once again, I'm telling the commission what to do. I'm not dictating the commission, but we're waiting for the commission. And when they do their listening sessions and other things, you know, this can clearly be elevated at those listening sessions as a priority or the priority. I don't know. But once again, we're not here, getting ahead on the action plan, but we are here to support this this fund for Russell City. Okay, I'll recognize you if you would come to the mic. And then we'll see if there's a motion.
I'm sorry, I just had a question. Is Russell City considered in the reparations, or I thought it was something else, not reparations, because reparations is for blacks, right? Russell City is not all black. So why would it be considered in reparations? Because there was all kinds of people who lived there. So they're not all black. We had all different ethnic backgrounds.
And I know the Reparations Commission is focusing on descendants of, you know, slavery. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not getting ahead of because the question was asked, would the county take this up? And I'm saying maybe the Reparations Commission will make this an item of priority in the plan that they submit to the Board of Supervisors when they're ready, when they come forth with their action plan.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very mixed community. Yeah. So, you know, even when we have our discussions online, there's so much tension because they don't want to be separated. Don't say so much that blacks lived here, we lived here. So, you know, that's just the way I feel about it. So, anyway.
Thank you for making that distinction. So this item today is specific to the redress, and the other item is related to the Alameda County Reparations Commission, but they are separate items. So we will be advancing a board letter, but let me not get ahead of myself and just state the motion so it's clear for the record. So on behalf of Alameda County District 2, where the unincorporated community known as Russell City once existed, I am recommending $400,000 from my office budget to the Russell City Redress Fund in partnership with the City of Hayward. As mentioned, I am committed to working alongside the City of Hayward with the goal to see to it that we reach $1 million or more. I also want to call out the hard work put in by council members Angela Andrews, Julie Roach, and Mayor Salinas on this issue. We will be continuing to work together to seek outside funding from businesses and philanthropy that might be interested in contributing to this effort. So my intent is to advance a board letter to be taken up at the July 22nd board meeting in partnership, should you be willing to accept, with Supervisor Miley.
And if you can include your motion, my commitment of $250,000.
In addition to District 1's commitment, Supervisor Miley is also pledging from his district budget $250,000.
Okay. So I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
And this would be a recommendation coming from this committee, the full Board of Supervisors. It's a committee recommendation. Okay. Any further discussion? It's been moved in by Supervisor Marquez, seconded by myself. Call the roll.
Supervisor Miley?
Aye.
Supervisor Marquez?
Aye.
Very good. This has been very, very fruitful meeting. Okay. And before I take a public comment, I just want to check with Supervisor Marquez. We were scheduled to meet at the end of this month. I told the clerk we're not going to be meeting, so we'll probably look to have a meeting at some point in the fall, maybe before the November Thanksgiving holiday. Okay. All righty. Okay. If we can have public comment on non-agendized items, if we have any public speakers on non-agendized items.
I have no speakers for public comment.
Oh, okay, no speakers. So the ad hoc Board of Supervisors Committee meeting on reparations is now adjourned.